Last Word on Today FM.
Something we've highlighted a number of times in recent months and brought it up with the Education Minister, Norma Foley, has been the nutritional value of hot school meals. So there's a lot of schools now using them, coming back after the Christmas break. In a moment, we're going to talk to a food policy consultant and lecturer at University College Cork, Ruth Hegarty. But I want to start by talking to Regina Halpin, who's principal of the Divine Mercy Senior National School in Balgaddy in County Dublin. Regina, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
I believe you've only just started on the hot school meals in your school.
Yes, I took it in the week before the Christmas holidays just to see, because that's kind of a chaotic week. So if anything was going to go wrong, it might go under the radar. So we did it the week before Christmas, and then this was our second week. But we're a Desh Band 2 school, so we would have had the cold lunches, if you like, before then. I only decided to kind of go with that. Not I only decided, but it's there. We've been asked to do it, but I needed to wait to see how other schools were getting on so that I could kind of test the water before I jumped in. So yes, we had it the week before the Christmas holidays, and we've had it this week as well.
And how's it been working out for you?
Well, apart from a few minor teething problems, it's a big ask really for schools because, you know, logistically principals are there and we're trying to get everything organised in the school and to make sure that the teaching and the learning goes on and that whatever's going to interfere with that, you know, that we can manage it and we can handle it in a way that it doesn't impact. So we had to get the big ovens in and then, you know, the electricians coming out to do that. And then you're worried about the heat, the temperature of them. So that was all of those fears were absolutely dealt with by our provider. I don't know whether I'm allowed to mention them or
you
not,
can.
But yeah, Glanmore Foods is our provider. And they have, they've won the All-Ireland Business Foundation School Lunch Provider. So that's why we went with them. They had been doing our previous cold lunches, if you like. So they were fantastic, the support I got from them and all of the questions that we had. And we had a little team as part of our home school group to talk to them about the meals and to talk to the parents. So that was initially our concerns, how it was going to be delivered to the classrooms. And waste was a huge consideration as well. And also the quality of the food that we'd be giving to the children, because, you know, as a school, we have a responsibility to the children of the school that whatever we are providing is, you know, it's excellent.
So did you have space for ovens? And do you also have your own people to actually heat the food or to give out the food?
Well, you see, that's the beauty of Glanmore Foods, I suppose. I'm lucky in that I am a Desh Band 2 school, so I have a parents' room, which we have previously used for breakfast clubs. So we've had a breakfast club running in the school for the past 20 years. So we did have that facility there. So when the ovens went in, we did have the space for them to go in. And they're quite big. Glanmore provide their own operatives, so there is no workload on me and I don't manage the staff, which is a huge relief. So somebody comes in the morning, delivers the boxes with the cold lunches in them. They turn on the ovens, the food is loaded into it, and then the operative comes in at 10. We give our lunches to the children at 1 o'clock, and they eat then in their classrooms. We have the yard split. So the third and fourths have their lunch first, and then they go out in the fifths and sixths that way. So, you know, everybody gets a chance to have their warm lunch then. And then the operative from Glanmore goes around with a bag and collects all of the rubbish.
Well,
and all
two, of the two rubbish things to ask, Regina, to jump out of me. One, yes. How many children in the first place do you have who are getting the hot lunch now?
330.
Big number. How much waste is there?
Well, you see, the waste is, and this is the other reason that Glanmore worked for me, is that all of the waste is compostable. Compostable, is that the right word? Yeah, so the bag even that it goes into, it's one of those bags that you'd put in if you were in your own brown bin. So she goes around, the bowls that the food is served in is compostable, and the forks and everything to do with it, it goes into this green bag. She collects it and she puts it out, and then it's collected once a week from the brown bin by the bin company. So in terms of waste, I would have to say we've had a dramatic reduction in that because of this week, Matt. You know, could I have picked a better week for them to start eating hot lunches than this week, because they're eating it up? You know, there's nothing left.
And what about the quality of the food? Is it good for them, the food they're getting? Do you think is it better than the cold meals they've been getting?
Well, we would have had more waste from the cold meals, and we would have a lot of sandwiches left over and fruit. Now, we would take it upon ourselves to have that delivered to a local charity, you know, for homeless people or for people who were just stuck. So we were doing that. I didn't want there to be any kind of food waste in the school. I would be very conscious of that and the message you're sending to children, you know, that food is important and that some people go without. But the hot lunch menu that we have, there's eight main meals that they can pick off every day. And it goes from, you know, beef lasagna, roast turkey, butternut squash and carrots, roast chicken with mashed potato. Like, it's a huge variety. We also do have the chicken nuggets, I suppose, or the crispy shredded chicken. But I'm looking at it, cheesy margarita. We would have the baked chicken tender. So they are baked. I'm very happy. We would have done testing with our student council. We would have had the food brought in. We would have got the children to eat it. We would have done the same with the teachers. And I know a lot of people have reservations about it. But for me, as a principal, I'm not a nutritionist. But for me, it would always be Maslow before Bloom. So if children are coming into school, that's why we do the breakfast club, because they come in, they're hungry, we feed them, they're ready to face the day, to work, to be set up. And I'm confident in that they've been fed, and the same with this.
Well, I think, you know, it's also very relevant that you're a DESH school, because some people are saying it should only be for DESH schools, it shouldn't be a nationwide project. But you mentioned what I want to focus on is the nutritional value. So I want to bring Ruth Hegarty in, lecturer in food policy at University College Cork, because you are concerned. Why are you concerned, Ruth?
Yeah, Matt, thanks for having me on. Concerned certainly about the composition of the meals from a nutritional point of view, and lots of other concerns, some of which you've kind of covered there around waste, and really the whole approach that we're taking to providing school meals, and to really our policy around food in schools, and how we educate children about food, and the kind of attitudes that we're developing. But in terms of the nutrition piece, I suppose I took a look at in detail at some of the meals that were being rolled out in schools. And of course, it varies across providers, but there's, you know, they're generally kind of the same types of things, like what Regina mentioned there, that are being offered. And these are, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about it, they've hot school meals. I mean, it's a really good policy, first of all, to have school meals. And there's great opportunity around it to reduce health inequalities and, you know, to provide children with at least one nutritious meal in a day. And people might imagine, you know, that there's, you know, a team in the schools giving out lovely hot meals. But, you know, in reality, you know, these are meals that are being produced in industrial centralised kitchens and individually packaged and then being brought in either hot or, as Regina described, to be regenerated in ovens in the school. And some of the meals that I took a look at were just like eye-watering in terms of the number of additives and processing aids that were included in them, and the quality of the ingredients really leaves a huge amount to be desired.
Just explain one chicken curry that you actually examined.
So I looked at a chicken curry that was actually being supplied to my own son's meal and or to my own son's school, and that meal included 75 ingredients. And there was a really extensive list of additives in what, you know, you could make at home with a handful of ingredients. So there's no question, but, you know, when you look at the kind of definitions around ultra processed foods, which is something we're hearing more and more about, you know, that vast number of ingredients, and then those types of ingredients, which, you know, normally we classify as, you know, things that you wouldn't find in your cupboard at home, or you wouldn't normally be cooking with, you know, those are things that really would characterize something as ultra processed.
Okay. So how can it be done better, do you think?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the really key thing, is that it really could be done much better. And there's fantastic examples all over the world. You know, school meals are really being advocated now as a tool to move forward towards more sustainable and healthy food systems. So not just to improve child health and to reduce health inequalities, but also to look at how, you know, we can produce better food and support local food systems and so on.
I believe some of the chicken, for example, is coming from China, is it?
Yeah, so as it happens, when I first went looking at this back in April 2024, when Heather Humphreys announced that it was rolling out to 900 new schools, and it's been extended on since now, and it's offered to all primary schools now, I went and found quite detailed specification sheets from a supplier with... that detailed the fact that the chicken was coming in, you know, frozen processed chicken from Thailand, South America, China. And I've had lots of people contact me, lots of emails from people telling me that they've seen the same in other suppliers, and lots of parents who've contacted me with huge concern about what's actually going into these meals because of the fact that their children are eating them every day. And there's some children who maybe, you know, are actually picking the same meal to eat every day. So I had one parent who contacted me because her child had selected one particular thing that she liked and she was eating it 5 days a week. So this mother really wanted to know exactly what was going into it. And the school food provider actually told her that they couldn't provide her with the ingredients list because they had a non-disclosure agreement with their suppliers.
Okay. And I mean, it's possible that children could get into some bad eating habits if they eat in the same thing, which is bad for them day after day. But just to complete this, Ruth, is it still not better that children, particularly those who come from disadvantaged areas, get a hot meal of something rather than getting no meal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people would argue, and I think it's very difficult to argue against this. I suppose what I would say is, you know, we really can do so much better. And I think this comes down to values as well. And, you know, because a child is disadvantaged or living in poverty, does that mean it's acceptable for us to use public money to feed them something that's less than healthy and nutritious for them? I really don't think that's acceptable at all. And I think that, you know, the government has pledged to roll this out to every school in the country. You know, Minister Heather Humphrey said it will be available to every primary school who wants it this year. And by their own projections, that will cost $333 billion every year for this programme to be extended to every primary school in the country. And they've even, you know, talked about then extending it to secondary schools potentially. I think they've already extended it to Dash secondary schools. So it's a huge amount of money. It's a big scheme. It's a big commitment. And I think we just really need to question, you know, the values behind it and whether this could be done better. And I think there's no doubt that it can. I think it's been rolled out very, very quickly with very little oversight. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to leave it there. And thank you very much, both of you. Ruth Hegarty, lecturer in food policy at University College Cork, and Regina Halpin, principal of the Divine Mercy Senior National School in Balgaddy, County Dublin. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Last Word on Today FM.